37. Let's hear the word of God together. A psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man which bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrowth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exhort thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And so reads God's most precious word. Let's pray together. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we briefly consider this wonderful psalm, we pray, Lord, you may speak to our hearts. And as we consider it, Lord, we pray you may bless it to us, that we may see our Saviour. We may see the end of all things. We may mark the perfect man. And Father, by your grace, we'll seek to walk in his footsteps. So Father, we pray now that you bless us as we meditate upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 37 is a very familiar psalm to many of us. I'm sure it's very precious to you as well. It's an alphabetical psalm, an acrostic psalm. It carries through these verses the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, probably designed to help for remembrance, for ease of memory. It's a psalm which, in many ways, is a psalm of proverbs. All these sayings here could be proverbs, even from the book of Proverbs. David is looking back. He says there in verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old. And he's looking back on his life. He's looking back in hindsight. He's looking back to what God has done for him and achieved for him. And he seeks to instruct us from his experience. And we would be wise to follow his instruction. He has been young, and now am old, he says. And pretty much most of us can enter that bracket quite easily. We've been young, and now we're old, and we can look back on God's goodness and loving kindness to us, his preserving of us through many, many years, and he's proved to be faithful. What David would seek to instruct us in is quite simply this: to take the long view. To take the long view. But for the end, he speaks there several times of inheriting the land forever. Those who are his children, they will inherit the land forever. He mentions that at least three times in this psalm, thinking of the end of the journey, end of life. And David is addressing a problem which I know to be true for many people I work with in Sri Lanka. They fret over the wicked who seem to prosper. And the psalm, I think it's Psalm 73, the psalmist there puts it more succinctly than David does here. David points out the problem here in Psalm 37. But Psalm 73, Psalm of Asaph, he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, this is his problem, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And his problem seems to be that the wicked prosper, and the righteous suffer. And the psalmist there in Psalm 73 couldn't understand that. And he's troubled. Verse 5 says, the wicked, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. And he says, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain. He seems to think that walking in the ways of righteousness is empty, is vanity, is of none effect. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say or speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful to me, he says. And then verse 17, here's a change. in Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. It wasn't until Asaph actually got into the sanctuary and considered the end that he fully understood the end of the wicked. And this is David's theme here in Psalm 37. He's concerned of the wicked. He mentions the wicked many, many times in his psalm. The ungodly, the unrighteous. And David's first piece of advice is to us in the negative. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. There in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. The word there, fret, means to become hot, agitated. There's a heat. We're burning with anger, almost. And the thought there is, we're not to be like that. We're not to fret. We're not to boil over. How often we do. Not only of the unrighteous, but of circumstances which confront us daily, in our everyday life. We question the providence of God. We question the way that the Lord is leading us and dealing with us. And David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That's the first negative. In verse 8, he gives a second negative. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger. And many of the commentators suggest that the anger is against God. Why are you being so unjust? Why are you being so unfair? The wicked prosper. And I have walked in your ways and your commandments and your precepts. And look at my condition. And David will instruct us. Cease from that anger. To put it in the modern terms, we are to stay cool. Cool, calm and collected. We're not to start shouting and ranting and raving when providence seems to be against us. Or when circumstances are against us. Or when the situation in a church. We've all been in churches, I'm sure, where issues have come up. And more often than not, many people's reaction is one of anger and rage. And that should not be. David's saying we're not to be like that. We're not to fret. We're not to boil over. We're to stay cool and calm and collected in our deliberations. So David is instructing us, look at the long view. Look at the end of the journey. And David again reminds us in verse 2. For the wicked, verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Yes, he says that they do seem to be prospering, but their end is certain. They will be cut down like the grass which grows today and withers and dies tomorrow. The scythe comes in, and the scythe of death cuts down every man, the wicked included. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That word there, wither, that's a terrible word, isn't it, really? To wither. Remember our Lord Jesus, he cursed that fig tree. And we're told it withered. The leaf and roots, the thing just died, it perished. Just the word of the Lord. And David reminds us that that is the end of all the wicked. They will wither. There will be nothing left of them. There will be dust as the green herb. And David gives us a few positives. Trust in the Lord, he says, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. In other words, have faith in the Lord. Have faith in what he's doing in your life. You may feel like you're going through the mill, through circumstances and situations you may be in at this present moment. But David says, trust in the Lord. That's a wonderful positive, isn't it? Trust in, have faith in the Lord. Trust him. be certain. Our heavenly, he's a heavenly Father, and we are to place our trust in him. Not only to place our trust, our faith in him, but we are to do good. And that is a good remedy for us to consider. As we consider the unrighteous and their prosperity, so-called, David says, do good. If we're doing good, our minds are on the positive. We're not looking at the negative of the unbelievers. We are doing good. Doing good in what sense? Praying. Being amongst the people of God. Visiting the sick. Visiting the lonely. Being good in works for mission. Speaking of the Lord to our neighbours. These things which are good works. But notice this. The order is not good works first, but it's trust and faith in the Lord. We are saved by faith, and through our saving faith in Christ Jesus comes our good works. And that's the order in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Trust in God and do good. Our good works won't save us, but they're an expression of a new heart, of a new will and a new purpose that the Lord has given to his people. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That word there, fed, can be translated from the Hebrew word to be shepherded. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will direct you. He will supply your every need, as he does in Psalm 23 there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's this daily provision. He will shepherd us. He will care for us. He will nurture us. And he will bless us. And they shalt thou dwell in the land. But David mentions the land quite often in this psalm. The land of Israel, the land of promise, the land that God had promised his beloved people. He says in verse 4, another positive, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And again, David has often instructed us to delight ourselves in the Lord. What a wonderful instruction that is. That's so sweet. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What do you delight in? Many for the wicked, their delight is in maybe 3 or 4 holidays a year, abroad, a new house, a new car, nice clothes. These temporal things they delight in. But David says, we should have our vision lifted up higher than that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, in Jehovah, all his precepts, all his attributes, those beautiful attributes of our glorious God. We are to delight ourselves in those. And that's why we come here, to a prayer meeting, to a Bible study, so we can be instructed in the ways of the Lord, and we may delight in him. What's your chief delight? Is it the Lord? Dear friends, that should be our chief delight. And he says, delight myself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Now that's not a prosperity gospel message there at all. Far from it. If we delight in God, the more we delight in him, the more we have a desire to delight in him. That's what David is saying. He'll give us a greater desire, and he will fulfill that desire as we delight in the Lord. It's this beautiful rolling picture. The more we desire him, the more he will reveal himself to us, and the more we will delight in him and love him and seek to serve him and glory in him. Delight myself also in the Lord. Notice this, it's always in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight myself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Desires of our heart should be to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. To have that humble spirit, that the spirit of meekness and of humility. To be like him, to seek to serve him and to glory in his service. But he says in verse 5, another positive, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And again, the Hebrew there, that word commit means to roll over everything which you plan for your future, every desire you have, commit it, roll it over unto the Lord. Gerard Hemmings, pastor of Emyon Park, I was listening to one of his sermons the other day on sermon audio, and he was saying, pray yourself out. Whatever is on your heart, whatever concerns you, whatever joy you have, just bring it all to the Lord. Just lay it all before him. Pray yourself out. So you have nothing else to say about it. You just lay it all before him. He knows anyway. But that practice of actually praying unto the Lord, committing everything to him. Commit by way, by work, by future, by family. He's saying, commit by way unto the Lord. Commit by way. The word way there means a well-trodden road, a path. Commit that walk, that pilgrimage that we have with the Lord. Commit it unto him. I'm telling you, you want to delight in him more. You want to see more of his Son. You want to see more of the working of his Spirit. Commit it all unto the Lord. Commit your church. Commit one another unto the Lord. And he says again, another positive there in verse 5. Trust also in him. He's just underlining again, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. That righteousness is an imputed righteousness. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. As the light shines, so our righteousness will shine before our neighbours and our friends and our family. And he shall bring it forth. The Lord brings it forth. Not that we're setting ourselves up on a pedestal. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. You can also translate that also, he'll bring forth our vindication. He will vindicate us before the world. He will prove that what we believe to be right and true of himself is true. And he will vindicate it. And that's something we should pray also for his own name. That the Lord will vindicate his name here upon planet Earth. Here at Gordon Road. Here in this church. That his name will be vindicated amongst our neighbours and our colleagues at work. Commit by way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Thy judgment again can be translated as justice. And when the sun shines at noon on any object, There's no shadow. It's all plain. It's all clear. And this is what David is saying. He'll bring forth our righteousness. He'll bring forth our vindication as the light, and my judgments as the noonday. And then another positive in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And Spurgeon says here on this verse 7, rest in the Lord. This is the hardest. This is the hardest. We are restless people. We are always on the go, particularly now in the 21st century. We're being bombarded with Instagram messages and tweets and emails. It's just this constant barrage of information coming at us from all angles and all directions. And to rest is difficult. But now it's possible. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days a week. And there is time to rest. And that's important. You know, but to rest, again, it's in the Lord. But to rest in the Lord. And we're to wait patiently for him. We need to have those times set aside. We said it before. that quiet time, that 10, 15, 20 hour, 2 hours, I don't know, with the Lord, so that he can speak to us as we come to his word, and we speak to him in prayer and supplication. We bring our petitions. We rest in the Lord. Are we resting in the Lord? Have you rested in the Lord today? Are you going to rest in the Lord tomorrow? Next year? Are we resting? Not to be like the wicked. They're restless. They're like the tossing sea. There's this foam, this momentum. There's this constant unsettledness in people's lives, in society, and in the world. There's this constant upheaval. But the people of God are instructed to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for him. God is never too early, and he's never too late. He knows the exact time to intervene and to bring us help and succor and salvation. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him. 3 times he mentions this fretting, this becoming hot and agitated. And we're prone to do that. It's our nature. We fret about our families, our children, our homes, our work. We fret about tomorrow. We've read about so many things. Many people are fretting about Donald Trump tonight and his sayings. But we're not to fret. We're not to be agitated. We're not to be concerned. For we know that God is sovereign. We've got to always remember that. And that's what David is saying. God is sovereign. Take the long view. God is sovereign and is working his purpose out. There are many wicked people about us, yet God is sovereign. In verse 9, he tells us, consider their end, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Evildoers shall be cut off. In verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Time and time again. Verse 34, cut off. Verse 38, cut off. That's the end of the wicked. They will perish. And David is saying to the righteous, remember their end. God is sovereign. They will be cut off. Wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And that was a real concern for the people of Israel. Notice this, that David is not talking to the Philistines or to the Babylonians or the Assyrians in this wonderful psalm. He's speaking to Israel, to the people of God. And he's saying here that there are those who fret, there are those who are wicked amongst his own people. But he says here, verse 10, for yet a little while, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. A little while. Their time is limited. Doesn't matter who, what dictator you may think of, their time is limited. Life is short. It's just a vapor, we're told. And for yet a little while, they make big plans, they have big schemes, and yet they forget their time is but for a little while. Again in verse 16, we have that word little again. A little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. A little. What do we have? Not much, do we? In Matthew's Gospel 17 and 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Little faith. If you have faith of the size of a grain of mustard, you will say unto this mountain, be removed. Little faith. Even little faith God does not despise. He delights in great faith, but little faith is to be commended also. Again, in Matthew 13:31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Little faith, little faith. And if we have that little faith, as we come to pray tonight, let's have faith that God will come amongst us this Lord's Day morning and evening, and that we will see salvation come to this house. That the prayer of faith, even if it's a small prayer of faith, God would come and that to bless. In Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Little flock. We're not a great flock by any means, are we? If you consider the church around the world, it's not a great flock. But fear not, little flock. This is what we have. Little faith, little flock. And those things are despised by the world, yet God has chosen to bless those things which are despised and belittled in the world. So fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. A little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. It's a righteous man, as opposed to many of the riches of the wicked. Again, that word there, riches, can be translated a tumult, a large group of people, a noisy group. Their riches pale into insignificance to our little faith and to the little flock. Those things are insignificant in the eyes of God. The riches of this world will pass away, but the things of God will endure forever. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Dear friends, do we believe that? Is that our experience? Are we content with the little that God has blessed us with, even to this very moment in time? A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. We'll leave it there for this evening, and God willing, we'll return to that psalm in a future time.